Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
All right.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting and podcasting from the middle of the mitten, from a beautiful green nutrient field, Craig Russell. We have drones, phones, and clones in the mothership. How you doing, Craig?
What? We've got drones and clones in the okay, I got you. Never mind. I understand.
Yeah, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles. Yeah. Well, on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, we have phones, drones, and clones in the mothership.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Todd.
I'm just coming off, as you know, the Hors de Shore yesterday. I shredded the NAR 48-plus miles from Ishpeming to Marquette in the backcountry. There are thousands and thousands of mountain bikers and... It was just unreal, and I'm here in the mothership doing a show.
I am so happy you are. Are you, like, exhausted? Are you drained, or are you doing okay? How's your training been?
I feel great. The Hors de Shore is held every year around this time in Marquette, Michigan. That's the great state of Superior for those of you that live outside the Mitten State. It attracts thousands and thousands of mountain bikers, fat bikers, road riders, people from all over the country, all over the world. The large majority, it seems, comes from the Upper Peninsula, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Canada, right across the Sioux. Each year I participate, and, you know, Ore Country is just, it's so beautiful up there along Lake Superior. And, you know, you're shredding single tracks, ORV trails, double wides. It's just amazing. All the landowners come out. They open up their land for this race. The volunteers. It's just amazing.
Now, I know it's beautiful country up there. Are the leaves starting to turn yet? Has it been a little chilly, or has it still been hot like we've had in the Lower Peninsula?
No, it's been spectacular. The wow's up in the UP all week. In fact, I was at Copper Harbor with my firstborn shredding the NAR on their single tracks, getting ready for the Hors de Shore. But my brother, my mud brother, David, Kate, the Kate man out of Traverse City was there with his son participating. Kate's a fellow attorney. He's a patent lawyer, and it was great to see Kate. Roy Krantz was there. Corduroy. Kanza Krantz was there. A lot of participants. It was a great time. I want to thank all the volunteers, the men and women of Marquette, you know, the sponsors. It was just a great time, Craig. So on with the show. The show must go on. I had to wake up today and do the show.
No, I understand. I totally get it. I was wondering if any members of the Levitt Law Firm racing team were there. Were Big Hair or anybody else there, or were you by yourself with just the other friends?
Levitt Law mountain bike racing team was represented by yours truly, Chris Taylor, who's part of the team, otherwise known as Little Hair, son of Big Hair, a.k.a. Vince Neal. They were not present. Tommy Chadster, Schaaf. Nah, I was the only one representing at the Ore to Shore because, you know, it's a long, for a lot of people, it's a long ride. So they don't want to head, you know, drive 8 to 10 hours. I don't care. I'll drive 24 hours for a race. But, no, you know, last week before I went up to the Upper Peninsula, I was training with Chris Taylor, a.k.a. Little Hair, and we took the Michigan Rail to Trail. For those listening out of state on the podcast, Michigan took all of its old rail lines that are not being used and made bike paths out of them. You can walk them, you can hike them, you can run them, you can sled them in the wintertime. So CT, Little Hair, and I, we rode from Lake Station to Reed City and back to Farwell, back to Lake Station. I think it was 72 miles, and he ended up going up to Harrison and rode about 120 that day.
Wow.
So that was our training ride.
That's incredible. Boy, it sounds like you had a great time, and glad everybody was safe and everybody had a good time, and the weather was nice for it. And glad you're back in the mothership.
Yeah, we are a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and we broadcast each and every Sunday morning, Craig, right here on 95 WUPS and where else?
Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We just rock. Out of Traverse City in Sheboygan.
We just rock. That's right. And we podcast. We're on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, Android app, Libsyn. So if you're just catching the show for the first time or you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast. Go on to Spotify or one of the other podcasting platforms and check out all our shows, the Todd Levitt Law Show. Also, I have a grasshopper update for the listeners, Craig.
Uh-oh.
If you recall a few weeks back, I said, you know, I haven't seen any grasshoppers lately. Well, I found the grasshoppers. And they're living and doing well between Lake Station, Michigan, and Everett and Reed City. I'm telling you right now, CT, Chris Taylor, and I, when we did the Rail to Trail ride a week and a half ago, we were bombarded with grasshoppers. I mean, they were just pounding us left and right. They were landing on my noggin, on my kneecaps. It was out of control. Tons of grasshoppers. It was out of control, Craig.
I know it's that time of year, and thank goodness you found the grasshoppers, because I know this was troubling you, immensely troubling you, not knowing where the grasshoppers were, so I'm glad you were able to find them.
You know what my father used to tell me about grasshoppers, Craig, when I was a kid?
What's that?
Absolutely nothing, because he left when I was one and never saw him, and then he passed on when I was 18, so my father said nothing. He taught me nothing. So there you go.
No, but you know what he did teach you? He taught you how to be a good father. That's what he taught you. He taught you how to be a good father.
True that. Hey, we have a huge show for the listeners here.
Always.
Huge show.
Always.
Amongst other things, we do have some cannabis updates for the listeners. Imagine that.
Good. I know. Big shock.
You want? Well, shall I start?
Sure. Go ahead and do a little bit of cannabis update, and then we'll take a quick break.
In Michigan, as you know, in November, recreational legalization of cannabis is going to be on the ballot. Craig, we received an email in the mothership at toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com, and it's from a listener in Michigan, and this individual will go nameless, as all the contacts are. Can I apply and get pre-qualified in the state of Michigan for one of the Covenant licenses without a business location? So this individual is asking, can I become an applicant to get pre-qualified and approved for licensing at this time when I don't yet have a business location? Do you understand that question, Craig?
I do understand that question.
The answer is yes. An applicant can apply for licensure at any time after December 15th of 2017. That's already gone by. However, Craig Russell, a license cannot be granted until an address can be identified. So you can get pre-qualified, but my recommendation is, if you plan on requesting through the state of Michigan a license to process, dispense, grow, transport, or test, I highly recommend you contact an attorney, real estate agent, an agent in general, and find a location, talk to the township, talk to the boards, and get permission so that when you do go to the state, your application is complete. And I am happy to say that more and more townships and communities across the state are now opting in to the Facilities Licensing Act, Craig. That's great news.
And it seems like they've been kind of opting in very quietly. Like all of a sudden you'll just see an article online or a newspaper that this city has decided to go ahead and opt in. This city is now talking again about what they're going to do when cannabis becomes legal. I mean, there it just seems like, you know, there was all this big uproar and all this big hoopla and all this stuff. Oh my God, we can't. Now it's almost like they've kind of reserved themselves to the fact that the people are speaking and this is what's going to happen.
Let's get to one more question before we go to break. How's that sound, Craig?
Okay.
Dude, my adrenaline is just cranking it and spanking it and tanking it right now. After, you know, you shred 48 miles, your adrenaline is just off the charts. Each year I do it in around 335, 340. So I average about 12.5 miles an hour in the backcountry. So it was a great time. Craig, let's get to one more question before we go to break. This question is from somebody up in Manistique.
Ooh.
You know where Manistique, Michigan is?
I do know where Manistique is.
Yeah, and this question is, what other things may potentially, and I'm paraphrasing this, what other things may potentially prevent myself, an applicant, I'm referring to this individual, an applicant, from getting approved for a license? And again, if you're just tuning in, we are referring to Michigan passed the Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act. And as of December 15th of last year, applicants can start applying, as we just mentioned a few moments ago. This individual is asking, what things will potentially prevent me as an applicant from getting approved for a license? So, you know, Craig, the board, and we've talked about this on previous shows, there's a number of things that the board may take into consideration, and we'll get to those after we come back from break right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show.
Oh, you big tease, you.
And I'm happy to say, Craig Russell, that again, 3 years running, more individuals listen to this show on the way to church than any other show on broadcast and podcast. So thank you to all the individuals out there traveling to church who are listening to the show.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
All right, is he waiting?
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting and podcasting from the mothership, the Black Diamond Group mothership, Craig Russell, in a beautiful nutrient field. We've got phones, drones, and clones here in the mothership, and I am just full of adrenaline right now. I'm fresh off the oar to shore with my brother Kate and all my other shredders, and we're doing a show. We're pulling it off here, Craig.
That's right. Coming back strong with Michigan's own Uncle Ted Lee, a little Wango Tango.
Love Uncle Ted. I'd love to get Ted on the show. Last week, we were featuring Kid Rock. Again, Michigan's very own. We love Kid Rock. And this week, Michigan, again, with Ted Nugent. Wango Tango.
We'll have to see if we can't get any of those clowns on the show. But you were starting to tease. You were talking about a question about what could prevent someone from getting a medical marijuana license in the state of Michigan. What kind of things would cause them not to get the license? That was what you were talking about before we went to break.
Well, the obvious is the financial ability of the applicant to purchase and maintain adequate liability and casualty insurance. Obviously, you know, when you're submitting your application to the state, you have to show proof, one, that you have the financial ability to enter into this business, and two, that you have the adequate liability and casualty insurance. So obviously extremely important to the state of Michigan. How about, you want me to give you another one?
Sure.
Whether the individual, the applicant, has been served with a complaint or other notice filed with any public body regarding payment of any tax required under federal, state, or local law that has been delinquent for one or more years. If you're delinquent on your taxes, federal, state, or local, for more than 1 year, that could hold up your application. I'm not saying it would deny your application what the language and the regulations say is the word may. You see, as an attorney, words are very important to us, Craig. You have to read the language.
Sure.
May is not absolute. It may hold you up. So that's important as well. And here's something. Whether the applicant or individual has a history of noncompliance with any other regulatory requirements in the state of Michigan or any other jurisdiction.
Well, now I have another question for you. And this regards whether or not you've maybe ever been arrested for marijuana possession without being a medical marijuana card holder. If you've ever had any kind of jail time, if you've ever been in trouble with the law, is that going to prevent you from getting a license?
Being that I am a criminal defense attorney, that is a great question. As an applicant in the state of Michigan, because we're talking about Michigan, where I practice criminal defense here in the middle of the Mitten all the way to the top of the great state of Superior, the Upper Peninsula, you cannot have a misdemeanor within the last 5 years. You cannot be convicted of a misdemeanor or a deferral statute in the last 5 years. Felonies in the last 10 years. Again, there is broad discretion. I would recommend you hire the right attorney for the job. And by the way, Craig, this is kind of deviating, but school's back. And the reason I bring that up is in relation to cannabis, we have students now who are coming to the universities from all over the country, depending upon what state you're listening to this podcast in. Obviously, there's universities in every state in the country. And these students, and especially the states where it's medical and recreational, are going to be bringing, you know, their medicine to their college campuses with them. I highly recommend if you're a parent to be sure to read all the rules and regulations and the student handbook and at the university in which your student is now entering. That's really important to make sure the student understands what they can and cannot do on the campus and in the dorm.
And on the other side of that, if you maybe, let's say you are 21 or 22 and you still are deciding to live on campus, or even if you're deciding just to use on campus, you better find out exactly what the rules and regulations are. Not necessarily even if you live on campus. If you live off campus, maybe you decide you're going to use in your car or something like that. You better find out what the rules and regulations are. You would hate to get kicked out of school for something like this.
That's great advice. I believe at Central Michigan University, my alma mater, your alma mater, Fire Up Chips, baby.
Fire Up Chips.
If you're 21 and older, you can actually bring alcohol into your dorm room, 21 and older. I'm almost positive that's the case. I'm going to be curious to see, and we'll have to look into this for a later show, what are the regulations or requirements or rules in regards if you're 21 and older to, you know, recreational cannabis and or medicine. I do know in the past, the university has prohibited individuals who are cardholders from smoking on campus, which is absolutely violating the sovereign individual rights of individuals who are 21 and older, you know, who have a legal right to possess medicine or otherwise from participating in that medicine. How can you allow alcohol on a campus for someone 21 and older in their dorm room, but you're not going to allow somebody who's 21 and older from, you know, medicating themselves? It's just, again, it's very hypocritical. We're going to have to get a list of all the universities across the country and start listing and talking about where they stand with these issues. I think it's an important issue. We all have young, you know, college age kids going to school. At least mine are now out. That's an important issue.
Well, here's a question that I have for you. Is it legal to smoke regular cigarettes in dorm rooms on campus? Because if it's not, that could be possibly the reason why you can't use marijuana, and or because it might be a fire hazard, there might be an insurance liability. I still think you're talking about state-run universities that take federal funding from the state, and if the state makes marijuana legal, you should probably, there should be some way to amend it in college dorm rooms. But it'd be interesting to see if smoking is allowed, actual cigarette smoking is allowed.
You cannot smoke in dorm rooms, absolutely not. So the answer is no.
Okay, well,
from my understanding, hey, I recall when I came to college in 1984, I moved into the dorms, into the towers. We had kegs in our dorm rooms, and I think we turned out semi-okay. I mean, we're a little upside down here. By the way, Craig, deviation, shameless plug to my buddy Frisbee. I got a buddy of mine I ran into. I had not seen him in 30-plus years. We used to hang out at the same clubs in Metro Detroit, Harpo's, The Ritz, My Place, Linolte's, Lipsticks. I ran into my buddy Jay Frisbee out and about here a couple weeks ago. So big shout. I just like to say the name Frisbee. Big shout out to Frisbee.
I was going
to
say, his last name is really Frisbee?
His last name is Frisbee, yeah. He's a good guy.
Wow, okay.
I think we should be, you know, you could change your last name if you want, Craig. Craig Russell flows. Todd L. Levitt flows. I'd like to change my last name to Autobahn. You know, something really cool like Autobahn. Hey, what's your name? My name is Todd L. Autobahn.
Todd L. Autobahn. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Russell. I think you should stick with Levitt. I have a feeling.
How about Todd Alpha Autobahn so it flows? I don't know. Craig Russell, is that your real name?
That is my given real name. Craig Matthew Russell is on my driver's license.
If you could change your last name, what would you change it to? Something cool. Do you think Russell is a cool last name?
I would probably change it to like Turbo. Craig Turbo. Or something like Turbo.
Craig Turbo. Turbo. Craig the Muscle Turbo. On the mic, hot in studio.
Hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got more. Do we have more questions, more law questions, or do you have a cannabis update?
I wanted to talk about the law. We have some cannabis left, but we're going to deviate and talk about some other misdemeanors. So when we come back from break.
All right. Taking a break on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Changing my name to Todd Alpha Autobahn. That's just a badass name, Craig. What did you want your last name to be?
Turbo. Craig Turbo.
Craig Turbo. On the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the mothership. We've got phones, clones, and drones in the mothership. I don't know. I saw on cable when I was flipping through last week, planes, trains, and automobiles, and for some reason, when I'm in the mothership doing the show here, Craig, it popped into my noggin, you know, drones, phones, and clones. So I don't know. I just thought it rhymed real well. Hey, last week I saw just a bad A movie. I don't know how well it did at the box office, but Ready Player One. You ever hear about that one?
I did hear about it. It was a Spielberg movie.
Ready Player One, for those of us who are, I'm in my 50s, I'm 53, you know, class 83, Berkeley High, go Bears. The whole movie is a reference to growing up in the 80s, Craig. It's just, I mean, everything about the movie is the future with references completely. Yeah. The music, the style, the cars. There's certain things that are spoken between the individuals in the movie that only someone that grew up in the 80s would know. I'm not going to give it away, but for those of you out there that are nostalgic, such as you are, such as I am, we love the 80s, we miss the 80s, go see Ready Player One. Plus, it's an outstanding movie. It's great for the kids. I mean, I'm going to go buy it, believe it or not.
Wow. You must have really dug it.
Yeah, it was outstanding. It really was. I loved it. Ready Player One.
And Steven Spielberg. You can't go wrong with a Steven Spielberg movie. So.
I want to give a big shout out to my firstborn, Rachel, for graduating law school and taking the bar exam.
Oh, awesome. How'd she do?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
Kevin Henry, my former law clerk, he took the bar exam. It's given the same day twice a year all over the country. So we'll find out soon enough.
How does she think she did?
Nobody has any idea how they do on that exam. If you feel you pass an exam that difficult, then you probably failed. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Todd.
You had a question during break. Should we talk about it?
We should. Hey, so you said we were going to talk about law, so I was wondering, in Michigan, now this is Michigan, I know we podcast all over the world and all over the country, but in the state of Michigan, where you practice law, can you be arrested for drinking and driving on a scooter?
Absolutely, you can be arrested for drinking and driving on a scooter if you're operating what's defined as a motor vehicle on a public roadway or a parking lot accessible to a public roadway. In Michigan, there was a case that went up the chain of the courts whereby an individual was parked in his driveway and he literally was backing out from his pole barn, you know, back 20, 30 feet down his driveway. When he came to a stop, an officer approached him. An officer was called for another reason, determined that the individual was intoxicated. The individual was placed under arrest for operating while intoxicated, never even made it to the roadway. Well, the lower courts ruled you cannot be arrested for operating while intoxicated or other statutes in your own driveway. Went up to the Court of Appeals. The higher courts ruled wrong. You can be arrested in the state of Michigan for backing a vehicle 20 feet in your own driveway without even making it to the roadway.
See, now I was going to ask you about that. What about in...
That's completely obnoxious. I just want to state that for the record. I mean, come on. You never made it to the roadway. You're not a threat to anyone, but, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole opinion of the higher courts. Quite often when cases go to appellate courts, in Michigan we have, you know, three members that sit on the appellate courts. So you might get 2-1, you know, 3-0. You might, so it always goes different ways, but I don't agree with that.
Well, now, wait a minute, but doesn't it have to do with his intent? Was the guy going to only just back the scooter out on into the driveway and not onto the road? Or would he have gone out onto the road if the officer hadn't been there? Was his intent to go out on the road? Isn't that count for something?
You are absolutely correct. The intent, obviously, you know, you don't want this individual to put the public at risk, including himself, passengers, or anyone else on the road. The issue was whether or not in a private driveway, is it accessible? You know, is it public? How is your driveway part of the public roadway? And the courts ruled because the driveway is connected at some point to the road, then you do have access to a public roadway, and thus you can be charged with drinking and driving in your own driveway, albeit you never make it onto a public roadway.
So what should have happened was the police officer should have sat there, observed him. Once he touched the road, then pulled him over.
He doesn't have to in the state of Michigan no longer.
Obviously not. But I'm saying none of this would have ended up going to court and have be all drug out or anything had he just waited for the guy to pull out. And the minute he touched the road, then you pull him over.
I see your point. It's a valid point. In Michigan, by the way, and I get this a lot. I know I was never given a phone call. I never received, you know, I got placed under arrest for whatever. I was taken down to the sheriff's department or the county jail. I never received a phone call. Well, guess what? At least in the state of Michigan, there is no law that I know of, and I've been doing this stuff for almost 25 years as a defense attorney, that says you're entitled to a phone call. Did you know that, Craig?
You mean all that stuff in TV shows and movies is hooey? You don't get a phone call?
Yeah, you do not get a phone call. In the state of Michigan, there's no law, there's no statute that I've ever read. And if I'm wrong, will somebody please send Todd L. Levitt the statute here, please? Yeah, you're not entitled to a phone call. Absolutely not.
Now, what about in other states? Is this just a Michigan thing you're not?
But all these jails do have phones so that the individual has access to call family, to bond out. Bond is, you know, part of having rights is the right to bond, unless you're violating the terms of your probation and then you're on a no bond hold. But if you're placed under arrest, a bond based on the circumstances, not in every case, but a bond will be set and there are phones present that will allow you to, you know, make phone calls to loved ones, to bondsmen, and so on and so forth. And here's another myth, Craig. A lawyer is not allowed to bond, at least in Michigan, his or her client out of jail. Oh, hey, Craig, Todd, can I have your phone number in case I get arrested? I'm going to need you to come bond me out. Number one, it's unethical for a lawyer to, one, put up money for a client to bond out, and I'm going to stand by that. Two, if you get arrested because you're operating while intoxicated or for some other reason, you're going to be held. You could be held, you know, for a certain period of time before you know, you have to be arraigned. So you could be sitting there for a while with even bond having been set yet.
I totally agree. The whole lawyer shouldn't put up money for a client. That seems kind of, I don't know, fishy, maybe something like that. Michigan's a hard place to live in, man. It's hard to live here.
Craig, if you call me at 2 in the morning because you're out and about and you made a poor choice, there's nothing I can do for you. Nothing.
Well, let's.
I'm saying as an attorney, a first bond has to be set. Charges have to be, you know, issued depending upon if it's a misdemeanor and the officer writes you a ticket right there on the roadway. There's other times where the charges and the case is more serious and the information that's gathered by law enforcement has to be forwarded to a prosecutor who may be on call or wait until, depending upon the day of the week, the next business day when the prosecutors can review the information and then decide, okay, here's the facts of the case according to the officer who's in charge of the case. What law has been violated? Now we're going to issue these three charges. The officer then comes back to the prosecutor's office. The documents are taken over to the court to sworn to. The magistrate issues the warrants. Then you can bond out of jail at that time.
Well, Todd, don't worry. I'll just expect my pro bono lawyer coverage from you. I won't ask you to come bail me out of jail, but I will expect my free lawyer. I'm just kidding. Todd, I'm kidding. I joke. Hey, we need to take a break on the Todd I Love It Law Show. One segment left. Wasn't there something else you wanted to talk about?
Don't get me started. I just got done shredding the Ore to Shore in Marquette, Michigan. Just an awesome mountain bike race. And I'm just fired up right now, brother. I'm on fire, and we're turning it and burning it and churning it here in the mothership. We have one segment to go, and I'm ready to go. We're going to come back strong with Uncle Ted Wango Tango here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Craig, take us out. We'll be right back.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with your uncle, my uncle, Uncle Ted Nugent, Wango Tango, baby.
He is Uncle Tedley, isn't he?
I love Uncle Ted. Craig, you got a lot of contacts. Can you please get Uncle Ted on the show? After Kid Rock comes on the show, can you get Uncle Ted to come on the show?
We definitely got to make this happen. And if not either one of those two guys, Eminem, we got to get somebody on.
Eminem, I would love to have Eminem on the show. Come on, Eminem, if you're out there, we love you. I love you. I saw 8 Mile half a dozen times. It's God's Plan, a.k.a. Drake. That's for the younger generation there. He's got a song out. It's God's Plan. So we're looking for Eminem, Kid Rock, Wango Tango, yours and mine, Uncle Ted.
If I had to make a guess, I would say probably Eminem will be the toughest one to get. Probably Uncle Ted will be the easiest one to get.
I disagree. I think all three of them would come on the show. Absolutely.
Hey, we were talking about law on this Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Big shock, I know. So I have a question for you. What is a PR bond?
Oh, that's a great question, Craig. So we were just briefly talking about bond, you know, how an officer places someone under arrest, writes a report, takes that report, forwards it to the prosecutor's office or city attorney. A prosecutor who's assigned to the file will take a look at the officer's notes, video, audio, witness statements, and determine what type of charges should be issued. After the charges are issued, the officer or the officer in charge who does the court runs, we appreciate your service. We support all law enforcement, all the troopers out there.
Yes.
Be safe out there. He'll pick up the documents, take them over to the courthouse, and then swear to them, and the magistrate will determine what type of bond will be set. There are times when an officer will make a recommendation to the magistrate or judge in regards to what the bond should be. That, I don't think most people know that, Craig, that an officer will make a recommendation to the magistrate or judge in regards to what the bond should be, because the officer is the one who's in charge of the case. They're the ones that have firsthand observation most of the time, all the time, as to what took place. So they're going to, you know, address the issue of bond. Not always, but often. A personal recognizance bond, also known as a PR bond or personal bond, allows an individual to be released from jail without paying any money, Craig. And most of the time, an amount is set. An example, Craig, the hustle, the muscle, Russell, I'm going to release you. It's your first offense. You're 80 years old. You've never been in trouble before.
Wow.
So we're going to release you on a $20,000 PR bond. And that is the amount, by the way, you would have to pay if you failed to show up for court. So I'm going to release you on your own personal recognizances. But if you fail to show up in court, in order to get out again, you're going to have to post $20,000 cash, no 10%. That's what a PR bond is.
See, that's the thing about this show, man. I, you know, having never been in trouble with the law, thank goodness, and almost 80 years old now, as you've made me be, I've never been in trouble with the law, so I've never had any knowledge of what a bond or any of that kind of stuff is, because I've never had to deal with it. I don't have a kid who's gotten in trouble. I've never gotten in trouble. So see, the things that I learn on this show from you, I've got to believe hundreds of thousands of other people who listen to this show learn the same kind of stuff. I would imagine, I'd like to believe most people are good law-abiding citizens who maybe have never had a use for a bail bondsman or anything like that. And so I think it's interesting to find out about this kind of information. And this is the kind of stuff that you excel at explaining in regular terms, not in law gibber speak.
I appreciate that, Craig. Somebody just handed me a note in the mothership here. Can bail be set before an arraignment? Absolutely. In fact, in most cases that I handle, and I specialize in, you know, anything and everything that has to do with a motor vehicle, from driving on a suspended license, a license restoration, drinking and driving, drinking and boating, ORVs, side-by-sides. I represent individuals, you know, who are caught, you know, operating while intoxicated with those charges and possession of drug cases, et cetera, et cetera. You know, bail can be set before an arraignment. Most of my cases, when it involves a misdemeanor, which carries 0 up to 1 year in jail, that's a misdemeanor, at least in the state of Michigan. If you're arrested first time operating while intoxicated in Isabella County, most often than not, your bond's going to be, you know, 7,000, 10%. You post $700 and you're getting out of jail. You didn't even see a magistrate. You didn't even go before a judge. You were placed under arrest. And after a certain period of time, the deputies at the jail, who do a great job, a big shout out to all the deputies, Isabella County, they're going to give you a PBT. And once your blood alcohol goes down to a very safe limit, you're then going to be released if you post the bond, you post the bail, or someone posted for you, or you get a bondsman. There's a lot of great bondsmen out there. So what happens is you then contact my office. Once we notify the court that we're representing you, Craig, on this misdemeanor charge, the arraignment, which is to take place within a certain amount of time, is waived. Most courts in the state of Michigan, when you're charged with a misdemeanor and you hire an attorney, that arraignment will be waived. The purpose of an arraignment is twofold, amongst other things. One, to inform you as to what the charges are, and two, to address the issue of bond and the bond conditions. And it's very important, folks out there, if you or someone you know, a loved one or a friend or family member, is out on bond and you happen to put up the money for that individual to get out on bond, they're signing bond conditions. Before they are released or when they are arraigned, they have to acknowledge in writing that they understand the bond conditions. And if you're putting up the money and they fail to comply with the conditions of bond and get violated and go back to jail, you're going to lose all that money you put up for their bond. So highly recommend, if you're going to bond somebody out, to make sure that that person's not going to violate the terms and conditions of bond by going back out, you know, once they're released and committing another misdemeanor or felony or getting caught drinking. A lot of times individuals in Michigan and around the country, will be released on the Scram Tether devices. There's a device called a Scram Tether, Craig. It's attached to your ankle. If you get any alcohol on your skin or even spilled on you, it has to do with, I'm not a scientist, but it has to do with your pores and so on and so forth. You're going to violate the terms of your bond condition. So you often if you're on bond for an alcohol-related offense, you cannot go to places where alcohol is served or the main business is to serve alcohol. If you're caught in an establishment where there is alcohol served, let's say, for instance, you're with a few friends, they get in a scuffle, the police come out, you're interviewed, and the officer determines, hey, wait a minute, I just arrested you last week, you're on bond, you're not supposed to be in a place where alcohol is served, and you smell like alcohol, I'm going to notify, you know, the prosecutor's office or place you under arrest. If it's justified, now you're violating your bond conditions. The prosecutor is going to file a motion to revoke your bond. And if you put up money to get that individual out in the first place, you're going to lose all that bond. Or if you were released on a personal recognizance bond, you're not going to get out of jail until you post $20,000 cash.
In other words, parents, make sure when you bond your kids out that they don't screw up again. Because that's probably what happens more times than not.
Look, courts, rightfully so, take bond very serious. The purpose of bond is to assure that the individual will appear in court. The theory is if you're going to post money or someone's going to post it for you, they're going to make sure that you appear in court. Now, when you use a bondsman, how a bondsman's work is, you know, they're insured. So if it's a $20,000, 10%, and you have to put up $2,000, you give the bondsman a statutory percentage, and then they'll assure to the court that you're going to appear. If you do not appear, then the bondsman, and you've seen these shows on TV, is going to come looking for you because they have an interest in assuring that you appear so that they, you know, aren't penalized by the courts and their insurance companies because they're the ones guaranteeing the bond.
That's putting it mildly, that they have an interest. Oh, they'll come find you. They will come check you out.
Oh, they will come find you. And if you hire a bondsman, and let's say again it's $20,000, 10%, $2,000, and you have to pay a bondsman $300, $400, $500, whatever it is, you do not get that money back. You don't get that money back, nor do you owe the bondsman any more money. But if you fail to appear, you better watch, you know, they're going to come looking for you.
This has been a lot of great information, a lot of great law information, as always. If you have any other law questions, you can email them to us, ToddLLevittLawShow@gmail.com, or you can always call Todd's office, 989-772-6000, if you have any questions about this stuff. I know kids are going to be coming back to school pretty quick, and I'm sure parents are going to be having questions about the law and about Jimmy and Susie and everything that they do on campus. But, hey, Todd, we got to get going, man. Show's over.
Are you kidding me? I'm just getting fired up. I'm pumped up, man. I'm ready to turn it, burn it, and churn it. We've been playing Uncle Ted, Wango Tango. I just shredded the NAR yesterday in Marquette, Michigan at the Hors du Jour. I got a lot more law to get to, Craig. I mean, I'm not finished yet, but you're right. The mothership has to take off. We have to go.
Another show next week. It's all good. Hey, make sure you be safe out there. Todd, relax a little bit. Maybe go out and do a little, you know, 10-mile shred in the NAR today just to kind of wind yourself down. And we'll be back next week.
Craig, I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out, Uncle Ted, with a little Wingo. I'm ready to tango. There's a fast one to a bed. Now things turbocharged. You be like a little fuel injection on it. I'll tell you about it. Now check out the hood scoop. I got to get that hood scoop off. Giant is giant. I got a buffer, 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 buffer. Yeah, shining out, baby.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, Mackinac Properties and Northern Michigan Vacation Rentals, buying, selling, and renting properties in the Straits of Mackinac region since 1998, Tim's Collision Plus in Roscommon, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, and Dr. Robert Townsend in Denali Healthcare for your alternative health care needs.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.